in my presentation, I'd like to acknowledge the faculty at Georgetown where this program began, and I have since left. And so Jean Matthews is in the audience, and she can wave. She's the new director for Nurses for America, and Professor Irene Gilson is the evaluator. She's here in the audience. And we're very fortunate to have two of our Nurses for America and one of their mentors from the clinics here, Deborah Hipkins. Let's see if I get Jessica Dean and Marianne Aberly. Veronica Aberly, got almost right, who are part of the Nurses for America program. And so really glad that they're here. And perhaps after our session's over and people have more questions, they can actually talk with them. So as was just being discussed, the health needs of vulnerable populations in our country are quite challenging. And this program actually began as a discussion in a course entitled Nursing Care of Vulnerable Populations that seniors take at Georgetown in their baccalaureate program. And the question that I asked the graduating seniors, and this was about March, so most graduating seniors about March or April already have the jobs they're going to be taking when they graduate. So I asked how many of the nurses, nursing students there will be deciding to go to work in community health centers or public health departments. And the students all looked at me a little puzzled. And finally one of them asked and said, is the answer for a grade? And I said, no, we're just having a discussion. And they said, well, Dr. Ranaranpo, I don't think any of us are going to be going to these sites. So having been a public health nurse most of my career, I said, I see. I said, why not? And they said, well, in the rotations and in this course and in their other courses, they do do rotations in public health departments and in the community health centers. And what they had seen did not imbue them to want to be there. And what they saw as us who are working and have worked in these arenas was an extreme shortage of nurses in the most needed clinics, which are the safety net clinics and in the health department. And the nurse who was working or is working in these clinics having to do a number of different jobs. So most of the students had decided to start off, as many nursing students do, in the hospital setting. So my next question then was, what would it take for to attract nursing students, graduates like you, to these areas? And so therein began the discussion about if we can get students who graduate from college to go and spend 2 years for Teach for America, what would it then take to get some nurses to do Nurses for America, where you would spend 2 years in needed areas? And so this is where this program, the conceptualization, has come about. So I will unfold the rest of the story. Again, the warrant or the evidence, and I won't spend a lot of time because I think this audience knows it, and especially in the last two speakers looking at homelessness and drug court populations, but it is clear and the evidence is compelling that there is a number of disparities occurring in our country based on our infrastructure and how we deliver health care, but also which is then moving us to more disparities. And so where do people who are most vulnerable who don't have insurance? Well, there are those who are not going to care at all for a variety of reasons. And then those who do not have insurance go to what has been termed the safety net clinics and also the health departments in our country. Just again, the examples of disparities that we have in infant mortality and diabetes, cancer, cardiac care, HIV/AIDS, and underneath them all the subgroups of populations that fit into this. So reiterating once again the health needs of vulnerable populations, improved financial access to care, improved geographic access to care, improved quality of care, improve access to appropriate medical procedures, technology, improve early detection and screening, improve coordination of care. This sounds like a litany to have socialized, doesn't it? But anyway, we're not there. So culture-appropriate care that meets requirements. So again, these are the layers of healthcare needs of vulnerable populations, many of whom are seen in the safety net, the community health centers, and in public health departments. So primary care and public health nurses, you know, role to address these needs. Again, the underlying warrant as the class was having the discussions, how nurses play a key role in addressing these populations, and the design or the conceptualization of Nurses for America to help attract nurses who were graduating to these sites. And this program was, at the time we were having this discussion, and if you can believe it or not, there was a solicitation. There was a solicitation from AmeriCorps, which is a volunteer, primarily funded organization that funds a number of volunteer projects. Well, there was a solicitation from AmeriCorps asking for projects that would provide either physicians or nurses who would be willing to work, not so much as volunteers, but to work in settings where they were not going to be provided the salary they would normally be provided in hospitals, et cetera. And so while we were having this discussion, that solicitation came out. So the conceptualization of the discussion with students was then turned into an RFA in May and then awarded that August. So to review a little bit again, it was a national program initiated in 2004. And derived from the class discussion. It was based on the Teach for America model. Many of the students in the class actually had friends and family members who had done Teach for America, so they were familiar. So as the idea was being conceptualized, we were able to get the lobbyists, being here in D.C., who works for the Teach for America, to come and talk with the students about how that program came about. The difference between the Teach for America and the Nurse for America is that Teach for America, you do not have to be have your degree in teaching or be a certified teacher. For the Nurses for America, based on the needs of the vulnerable populations, the healthcare disparities, we felt very strongly as we were talking with the students and later worked with the faculty to finish conceptualizing this, that if we had a Nurse for America program and we were really going to meet the demand of the needs, that these nurses had to be already registered and licensed and ready to move forward. In the process of conceptualizing this, we did talk with nurse colleagues who were in community health centers and public health departments. And not only did they want the nurses to be already registered and licensed and ready to practice, but they also wanted the nurses for 2 full years. They did not want to take any volunteer for 1 year. So it was partially funded, but again, by the Corporation for National Community Service, which is AmeriCorps, and the grant was awarded. If you are familiar with AmeriCorps, they are not large grants because the vision of AmeriCorps is that as you pilot a program, you would work with your community and corporations who would then continue to fund and sustain whatever ideas. So there was not a large grant. It primarily paid for the nurses to get trained and also to receive a $4,725 stipend at the end of each year they completed, in addition to the salary that they would accept being at these community health centers. The majority of the building and pulling together the program and the faculty salaries was an in-kind provided by Georgetown. We had an advisory board comprised of partners from key organizations. The Association of Community Health Centers, which is housed here in D.C., was a member of this advisory board. And again, the reason, because they represent many of the community health centers, 330 clinics throughout the United States. The AHEC, which is the Area Health Education Centers in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, because part of the mission of the AHEC is to look at the distribution of human resources as it relates to health and education and welfare in particular regions. Of the states and throughout the country. the Catholic Archdiocese of Washington, because we had an ongoing relationship with the Archdiocese, which has also community health clinics. And we worked with them as part of rotations that the Georgetown nursing students and health system students rotate through. So they were already an existing partner, so we brought them on board for the advisory board. And then the public health departments of Alameda County, California, and East St. Louis, Illinois, because these were two sites that we had an existing relationship with, and we wanted to bring them as part of the advisory board as this program was unfolding. I want to just take a little step back. Being a pilot program, the areas we chose to work in, one, because of close proximity, was D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and then we chose Oakland, California, because we had a relationship with one of our faculty within the university who had a relationship with the health department and with the Asian Health Center in Oakland, and there was a great need. They had been trying for over 6 years to get a nurse to work either in the Asian Health Center and also in the public health department and had gotten no recruitment. So another area that was in great need. And the other areas were East St. Louis, Illinois, the health department, and St. Louis, Missouri. The other areas were San Antonio, Texas, because while this was being conceptualized, there was a meeting of directors of health departments, and my old director of health department, and I'm from San Antonio, Dr. Garrett, was just mortified that I hadn't thought about San Antonio as this pilot was taking place, so we included San Antonio, and then of course another of my colleagues at the health department in Laredo, so Laredo was included, but that was enough for a pilot. So that's how we ended up being in the areas that we are in. So again, what we were trying to do is to address the barriers to care for vulnerable populations, and as we reiterated in the slide before, the inaccessibility of care, fragmentation, cultural and sensitivity issues on the patient of care providers, and delayed diagnosis, etc. So we placed BSN trained nurses in health facilities in shortage areas. And as we were looking, we did have, I did have many people who were then applying to become a Nurse for America, the debate of how come you didn't allow associate degree nurses to be able to be eligible to apply for the program. And then, of course, we even went down to the licensed practical nurses as I was getting the calls when we were recruiting. And Jean Matthews, who's here and who is the current director of Nurse for America at the time, you know, on our faculty as this was RFA was being developed, was on here at the American Public Health Association, and we had a discussion with other faculty. We just felt really strongly that we're moving toward a baccalaureate program, and if this was going to be a pilot, we would like it to set that standard. Not that and I did have discussions with the schools of nursing, associate degree, and even the LVNs, that might not be something we would look at, and we did allow one nurse who had an associate degree but who was already completing her baccalaureate program being a pilot. We did that, were able to extend that. But for the current program, the primary, we were baccalaureate prepared, and we did recruit, I believe, a total of 3 nurse practitioners. We trained the NFA participant nurses regarding the care that they were going to be providing in these community health centers and in public health departments. During the training, we included in the training nurses from the community health centers and from the public health departments as part of the training. Going quickly. We also had a component on cultural issues because we felt that in dealing with a lot of the clinics, especially the rural where the nurses were going to be in, we really needed to have some hands-on case studies. And just one really quick case study that came up, we had a clinic in D.C., where the nurses were going to be placed, where initially it was primarily serving African American, and the demography changed over time, and now they were serving Hispanics, and there was quite a lot of issues for the staff and for the population as this change was occurring. And so we're seeing this throughout the country, so it's not just about one ethnicity understanding of culture, but looking at the change in demographics. So we use case studies as we were doing real case studies as we were doing the training with the nurses. Again, the goals are to increase access to nursing care for the underserved vulnerable populations, improve the quality of the health care served, delivered by the community health centers and local public health agencies, and increase the knowledge, attitudes, and practices of participants regarding citizenship. I believe Dr. Gilson brought copies of the slides electronically for those, as our time is slipping here. So I want to go a little bit to the findings. We had about 40 to 55 applicants, people wanting to be on. Our number of nurses we were going to select were 20, and we were able to select 20. And again, these are the areas in which the nurses were going to be placed. And currently, at the end of the training, 18 were able to be placed. Two, because of family relocation, weren't able to continue with the program. And so we had 18 in the within the first year in these various regions. We had the two-week intensive training, and that was held at Georgetown, and they received CNE credit for the training prior to being placed in the clinics. We also ask that each participating community health center and public health department provide a mentor for the nurse in the setting. And I think one of the most difficult things as our evaluation is continuing was that many of the agencies, the nurse mentor was also the nurse manager, was also the triage nurse, was also the referral nurse, et cetera. So what we've learned, at least in just the beginning part of the evaluation, that if you have a program where you want nurses to go out to these areas, you're also almost going to have to build an infrastructure for the mentoring, which is not what the AmeriCorps allowed funding for, but what we are already learning in this pilot, that yes, you can recruit young nurses to go out to these areas, but there's going to have to be an infrastructure of mentoring in order that you wouldn't then burden the center or the health department with that. And so with that, I'll just close with saying that I think that it's imperative that nurses take the lead on trying to find answers to how we can improve the access for vulnerable populations. And if there's not nurses there, I think this was one attempt to try to pilot, you know, how we could get nurses there. I think the other thing that we're learning is that after their 2 years, because they're in a community health center, they will be able to get loan deferment. They just can't get both at the same time. So I think that we need to think more about programs like this so that we can have nurses answering nursing issues, especially related to the shortage. Thank you very much.